You are listening to ebuzz.com. Muhammad Rasulullah alayhi salatullah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وسيق الذين كفروا إلى جهنم زمرا حتى إذا جاءوها فتحت أبوابها وقال لهم خزنتها ألم يأتكم رسل منكم يتلون عليكم آيات ربكم وينذرونكم لقاء يومكم هذا قالوا بلى ولكن حقت كلمة العذاب على الكافرين قيل ادخلوا أبواب جهنم خالدين فيها فبئس مثوى المتكبرين وسيق الذين اتقوا ربهم إلى الجنة زمرا حتى إذا جاءوها وفتحت أبوابها وقال لهم خزنتها سلام عليكم طبتم فادخلوها خالدين وقالوا الحمد لله الذي صدقنا وعده وأورثنا الأرض نتبوأ من الجنة حيث نشاء فنعم أجر العاملين وترى الملائكة حافين من حول العرش يسبحون بحمد ربهم وقضي بينهم بالحق وقيل الحمد لله رب العالمين صدق الله العظيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهداه وبعد. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, creator, nourisher, cherisher, sustainer, provider, protector and curer of myself and yourselves and of entire creation. Complete blessings and salutations be upon the masterpiece, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all his companions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them and bless the ulama of this ummah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our offspring for generations to come up to the day of qiyamah. And may Allah keep us steadfast on this deen. Allahumma la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal alimul hakim. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن عين لا تدمع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن بطن لا يشبع ومن دعاء لا يسمع. O Allah, we ask you to grant us knowledge that will be beneficial, and we seek your protection from knowledge that will be of no use. We also ask you to grant us benefit from whatever knowledge you have granted us, and we ask you to protect us from eyes that will not cry for your sake. And we ask you to protect us from stomachs that will never be filled, from souls that will never be content. And we ask you to grant us protection from all forms of evil, Ya Allah. Honored ulama and beloved brothers and sisters and dearest listeners, I would like to speak on the topic of a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will introduce it by introducing the Sahabi, the companion who has narrated this hadith. His name is Abdullah ibn Salam, radiallahu anhu. A very brief history as to who he was. He was a Jewish rabbi. He was one of the Jewish leaders, the spiritual leaders of the Jews. And the reason why the Jews had moved to Al-Madinatul Munawwara was because they found it in their books that there will be a prophet to come. And this prophet will be in an area where there will be lots of date trees with lots of crop in terms of date, the date plant. So they looked for the date plantation and they shifted to Al-Madinatul Munawwara because they found that in that city and around the city, the descriptions were fitting, the same descriptions in their books. And they lived there as Jews. And there came a day when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Al-Madinatul Munawwara. We all know of the hijrah. He was driven out of his home sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mecca. Most of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had to leave behind their properties in Makkatul Mukarrama. They had to leave behind their belongings for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Firaran ila Allah bidinihim. They ran away. The only property they had was the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rest they had left because they knew there was an option ahead of them. Either they chose the dunya and they gave up the deen, or they chose the deen and they gave up the dunya. They, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, chose the deen and gave up the dunya. And in return, Allah gave him the dunya and more than the dunya. Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu anhu was one of the greatest companions in terms of wealth. He sat with a hulla, hulla meaning a little gown, which was worth 120,000 dirhams. Allahu Akbar. I don't think any Lexus that would be bought today would be that expensive. And yet he stood right next to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu in the same saf of salah. And they read salah next to Bilal ibn Rabah and the others radiallahu anhum jami'ah. Not once did that wealth bring pride in any one of them. And yet when they left their houses, they left with nothing. Completely nothing. Nil. With us, we are fortunate that we are not given that option. Rather, we are to make choices on a daily basis whereby we've got to choose a little bit more of one of the two. Not like we are told to leave out one totally, but we are asked to make a decision to give the deen preference over the dunya, and still we have the dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us barakah in our dunya and in our deen. So Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu anhu, he was this Jewish person whom when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came in on the occasion of hijrah, he noticed the cloud. There was a cloud that disallowed the rays of the suns from harming Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It always covered the sun, especially when the sun was in the hottest moment of the day. It was always covered by a cloud so it would not affect Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This miracle was even prior to Nubuwa, and it was noticed by some people who had known that to be the sign of prophethood. There was another Christian rabbi, a Christian priest, who had noticed this when Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very young. His name was Bahira. I'm sure some of us may have read the seerah and we might have read about it. And he noticed that even the tree had actually covered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and shaded him, and it had moved very slightly. If we were to look at it, we would think that the wind is blowing, and that's why the tree has actually come to one side. But sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the tree had actually brought its leaves to one side. The one man who was seated at a great distance noticed it, and he knew that I know from the books of the Christians that there will be a Nabi who will come and sit at that particular tree. And this is exactly what will happen. So he went to the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told him, get this nephew of yours back to Makkah as soon as possible. Definitely I see something great in him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the acceptance to understand the value of this deen and how fortunate we are to be following Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This Abdullah ibn Salam had then seen some of these signs. When he saw these signs, he said, let me go and see this person's face. Now you can imagine when a big scholar comes to your masjid, a big scholar, say one of the imams of the haram have to come. To get a glimpse of him would be quite difficult because everybody would be surrounding him. Imagine if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to walk in here. I don't think it would be possible for many of us to even get close. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. Obviously, it's not going to happen, but it's just to bring it close to your mind. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Madinatul Munawwara, there were people around him. The Muslimin found it quite difficult at times to get right to him at that particular moment when he entered Madinatul Munawwara. And here was a man who was Jewish, who decided, no, I must look at this man. I must see him. And it is reported that he got a chance to get a glimpse of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he got a glimpse, he looked at him. And he says later on, Wallahi, when I saw the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I knew that this is not the face of a liar. Allahu Akbar. I knew automatically the nur on this face is not that of a liar. He won't lie. This man is truthful. So he watched and he waited and he saw. And he says, already at that time, iman had entered my heart. Already at that time, iman had entered my heart. You know, just to pause for a moment to divert very slightly. With us, MashaAllah, we read the whole Quran. Don't we read khatams, at least on an annual basis, some of us? Don't we read it in Ramadan, at least? Quran from cover to cover. What does it do to us? What does it do to us? Let me show you what it did to those who were non-Muslims when they understood the Quran. Umar ibn al-Khattabi radiallahu anhu was one of the most powerful enemies of Islam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made a dua that day, that morning. He says, Allahumma a'izzal Islam bi ahad al-umarain. O Allah, grant entry into Islam and grant the strength of Islam through one of the two Umars. Who were these two Umars? One was Umar ibn al-Khattab. He was a powerful non-Muslim. He was feared. When people saw him, they would go away. They would really go away. They knew this man, don't mess with him. I hope there are no such people in Leicester, inshallah. So, that was one Umar ibn al-Khattab. The other one was Amr ibn Hisham, also known as Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl was known as Amr ibn Hisham. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this dua, something came into the heart of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, let me go and kill him. Let me go and kill who? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he took his sword and he began marching in one direction. He knew what he wanted. He said, this man has caused enough. So someone met him on the road and told him, your sister has accepted Islam, why don't you start with him, with her and with your brother-in-law? So he decided, yes, it makes sense. You know, charity begins at home. So he decided, let me go. So he went to his sister's house only to find them reading Quran. And as he entered, there is a whole story behind it. But as he entered, he found them reading the Quran and they put it away. They refused for him to touch those pieces of the Quran. And he began to beat them. There was blood on him, blood on them. And then they decided, if you wash, we will allow you to read this Quran. He read a few verses. Imagine a mountain of enmity crumbled with three or four verses of Surah Taha. Taha. Already he was half shaken. Those two words. Have we ever been shaken by such words? Let's be honest. We are Muslimin. The Quran does not tickle us. Sometimes we complete khatam after khatam and our life has not changed. And these people, they read one word, their entire life changed. Non-Muslims. مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have not revealed this Quran to you so that it can be a point of your discomfort. This Quran is not revealed. These rules and regulations of Islam are not revealed in order to stress your life. No, they are revealed in order to make you a better person. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu began to weep. He began to weep. Imagine what type of intention he had. He had the wrong intention. But whilst he was doing that wudu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala softened his heart. So when he got to those words, the first opening words already softened him up. The next words made him cry. Until he read just a few. It is reported four verses. And he says, take me to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, they were in the house of Al-Arqam ibn Abi Al-Arqam radiallahu anhu. There were only 39 Muslims who had accepted Islam at that stage. 39. At the early stages. And what had happened is, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu now marching with his brother-in-law and with a sword and with blood straight into the house of Al-Arqam ibn Abi Al-Arqam. At the door, he finds Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu. And Hamza radiallahu anhu, on one hand, he sees the brother-in-law, he sees this man. He remembers the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, no, this man looks like he's come for war, but because of that dua, I really have greater hope in the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than the fear that I have of this man. He was also a huge warrior, Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, Allahumma hadha Umar. Oh Allah, this is Umar. As you can see, in yuridillahu bihi khayran yuslim, wa in yakun ghayra dhalika, yakun qatluhu alayna hayyina. Oh Allah, if you intend goodness from this man, let him enter the fold of Islam. And ya Allah, if there is anything else he intends, make it easy for us to overcome him. They watched him going in. Ayna Muhammad. In fact, he actually said, Ayna Rasulullah. When he said, Ayna Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some of those who had intellect, they understood that if this man has to say Rasulullah, it means he's acknowledging something. Automatically. You see, those with brains, they can actually pick up much more than what myself and yourselves can pick up. Not to say I don't have a brain, but possibly not on that level. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu walk in. The Sahaba, 39 of them, they were watching. Well, most of them were in the room watching. They looked at this man. They were all ready to do what? Ready to pounce on him if he intended anything bad. Imagine, defending Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, Inni ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka abduhu wa rasuluhu. I bear witness there is none worthy of worship besides the one. And I bear witness that you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What moved him? 3-4 verses of the Quran. We read Quran after Quran. This is what my point was. It doesn't tickle us sometimes. Surely there needs to be something within us that should move us to understanding this deen and the greatness of this deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us an awakening. So Abdullah ibn Salam similarly looked at this man and he knew this man is not a liar. And he says, I heard the words coming out of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mubarak mouth, his blessed mouth. And they were as though they were created for my ears. My name was Abdullah ibn Salam. And everything he said at that moment rhymed. It rhymed my name. Imagine, that was like a gift sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first words that he heard from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to one narration, Ayyuhan nas. Imagine, his name is Abdullah ibn Salam. Abdullah, son of Salam. He heard, Ayyuhan nas. Afshu salama. Wa at'imu at'ama. Wasilu al-arhama. Wasallu bil-layli wal-nasu niyam. Tadkhulu jannata rabbikum bisalam. Subhanallah. These were the words. And he says, I said, Shahidtu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another narration, this happened again later on as well. So he related this hadith and he says, these are the words I heard from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So today, that hadith that moved someone who had knowledge of the book, I'd like to repeat it here in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for my benefit. And then for yours inshallah. Afshu salama. Ayyuhan nas, addressing the people, O people. The message was for everyone, Muslim and non-Muslim. The message was for Muslim and non-Muslim, not just for Muslims, but for non-Muslims as well. Afshu salama. Now, to bring you into the picture, let me explain to you that the end of the hadith explains what the beginning is all connected with and connected to. So let me tell you what the end says. The end says, if you would like to enter paradise, then this is what you should do. If you would like to enter paradise of your Rabb, the paradise that the Creator has created, then this is what you should do. That's what the end of the hadith says. But with us, we are not Arabs, in the sense that our Arabic is not powerful like the Arabs of those days. Even the Arabs of today, their Arabic cannot match that Arabic. They had reached a peak in the Arabic language, subhanallah. They were able to recite and utter whatever was in their hearts, and every single sentence would actually rhyme with the next. That was the height of it. That's why the Quran was sent. You see, every Nabi was sent with the best of whatever development had taken place in his time. Like Isa alayhi salam, in his time, there were discoveries in medicine. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him with a miracle that no doctors could compete with. What was that? The dead were given life by the power of Allah. So the doctors would then pronounce somebody dead, and Isa alayhi salam would come and would then blow on him or touch him, and that person would come back alive. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of this in the Quran. وَإِذْ تُخْرِجُ الْمَوْتَى بِإِذْنِي. And definitely through our power, O Isa alayhi salam, you were granted the ability to give life to the dead. Allahu Akbar. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in fact, let me quickly mention Musa alayhi salam as well. At that time, that engineering, they were powerful builders, they made the pyramids, and we all know the secrets of the pyramids cannot be understood by the engineers of today. how the light comes in and how 365 days later it appears back exactly how it appeared at that time 1 year back, and so on. The height of that form of technology, Musa alayhi salam came with a little stick. He had to strike the water, and there were 12 huge highways going right to the other side. Allahu Akbar. That was miraculous. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given the Quran. Wallahi, when we read it today, nothing can compete with the melody of the Quran. Absolutely nothing. Subhanallah. Those whose brains and souls and minds are soothed with something heavy, you will have someone who recites in a heavy tune. It will soothe you. Those whose brains and minds and souls are soothed with something light, you will have some recitation that is very calm and light. It will soothe you. Those who want something loud, you can have a loud recitation, a soft recitation, a high-pitched recitation, a very bass recitation. That is why we always say those who listen to music are insulting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He revealed the Quran to soothe our hearts and minds and souls, and here we decide to substitute it with words other than those of Allah. May Allah grant us the ability to engage in tawbah and to throw away those CDs we have that are insulting the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abdullah ibn Salam heard these words, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَفْشُ السَّلَامَ, spread salam. If I were to tell you today, spread salam, what would we understand from it? In fact, if you open some of the interpretations of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some translators have actually said, spread assalamu alaykum. That's what they've said. Spread assalamu alaykum. Spread salam. If I were to tell you spread salam, you would probably think it means greet each other, isn't it? But the Sahaba radiallahu anhum comprehended something extremely deep, and I'd like to talk to you about that this evening. Salam means peace. Spread peace. Before you say assalamu alaykum, ensure that you are at peace with your Creator. In order to qualify to say assalamu alaykum, I need to be a Muslim, or else I cannot even get a proper response. We are taught to say wa alayka, or wa alaykum, or wa alayka mithla alladhi qulta, if the person is a non-Muslim, because you know they are not at peace with their own Creator. Why should I then respond the entire response? I can say, look, and to you. I don't even know what they've said. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha radiallahu anha once heard some of the kuffar saying assalamu alaykum, assalamu alaykum. And she said, what? Assam in Arabic means death. So these hypocrites are saying, death be upon you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in return we say, oh, and may the peace and blessings be of Allah be upon you. So she replied on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa alayka assamu wal la'na. And upon you is not only death, but even the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was sent as a point of mercy to mankind, he says, mahlan ya Aisha. Relax, take it easy, O Aisha. Don't worry. You know what? All you have to say is wa alayka, and to you. So whatever they've said rebounds back to them. Allahu Akbar. Instead of getting all excited, and this teaches us diplomacy. When we are speaking to people, let's not explode. When someone blasphemes this deen, if we explode, we might end up blaspheming the deen even more and creating an insult of our own deen. Rather, deal with it intellectually. Deal with it in a manner that you can solve the problem and the crisis. May Allah grant us leadership in the Muslim Ummah. Amen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people who do not just have spontaneous reactions without the guidance of the ulama. So, this was Aisha radiallahu anha, and this was the salam. They used to listen to it very carefully. Each one of us needs to look at assalamu alaykum as a huge act of worship. That is what will lead us into Jannah. Didn't I tell you that's the end of the hadith? So the beginning of the hadith tells us how to start. If we'd like the end of our journey to be Jannah, the beginning needs to start with salam. I need to be at peace with Allah. I need to read my salah. I need to engage in all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and abstain from all the prohibitions. And at the same time, when I say assalamu alaykum, I must mean it from the bottom of my heart. And I must say it loud and clear. You know, we are taught that for every letter you read of the Quran, you get 10 rewards. 10 rewards, isn't it? We know that. So if we are to chew our words, whether it is in salah or whilst we are reading the Quran, we are reducing the rewards, the free rewards that we are getting. Here in Britain, I was told that some people, they sign the dole. They sign what? The dole. They sign to get money from the council, sometimes illegitimately. Why? Because they need pounds. They need money. So they say by hook or crook. Here we are doing something wrong in order to achieve a pound or two that might help us in the dunya, and it might not help us if Allah decides to take us away right here and right now. And there we have only words that we need to utter clearly for something much more valuable than pounds and dollars to literally ring up in our accounts, and we can't even say that assalamu alaikum clearly, and we can't even read the Quran clearly. Just if we read the Quran clearly and if we greet nice and clear, we will be achieving something much more valuable than pounds and dollars, and that we're not ready to do. Why? Is that not hypocritical? And whereas when it comes to the dunya, we're ready to do wrong in order to achieve one or two things that we feel in our minds might get us through to next week. May Allah protect us. Look at how we've become. So is that peace? That's not peace. If we are doing something wrong, can we ever get something right out of it? No. Inshallah, Allah help us to be straight, and inshallah to be steadfast Muslims. So here we have the speech of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaking about the importance of salam and peace. And I'd like to remind yourselves and myself that when we say assalamu alaykum, it does not only mean peace be upon you. No. The English language does not qualify to translate the Arabic language at all. Not at all. Not even in the least. When I say salah, salah is not prayer. Prayer is dua. Have you ever thought of that? If you go and tell a non-Muslim, please pray, he'll probably clasp his hands and say, oh Lord, give me this and give me that. I'm praying. So if you tell a Muslim, pray, he's got an option. There's four or five things he can actually do. He can either make dhikr, he can either read Quran, he can either go and read salah, or he can make dua. So what does prayer mean? It is a smell of the meaning of the word salah. That's it. And if you are a Muslim or you've had something to do with Islam, you might know that when we say we pray five times a day, then we are using the word prayer to refer to something known as salah, which unfortunately the English language cannot translate in one word.